Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, September 14th, 2020, and Keith, we are back talking about fall sports, waiting for some sports to come back. We're not sure when Big Ten football is coming back, when Big Ten men's soccer, women's soccer. We'll leave that to the people that make a lot more money than us. What we can talk about is our continued success of Maryland professional players. And we go to the men's soccer realm this week, Keith, as we talk to 2018 national champion, current Minnesota United starting goalkeeper, my guy, Dane St. Clair, on the pod this week. He's had a great breakthrough over the last 2 weeks, and Maryland fans will remember him from the incredible run that the Terps went on in the 2018 national championship season. I was there every step of the way. It was incredible, and Dane was a huge part of that, Keith.
Yeah, and I'll always remember those five straight clean sheets in the NCAA tournament during that magical 2018 national championship run, Taylor. And it all kind of started in that Big Ten championship game, tie Indiana 1-1, lose on penalty kicks. But from then on, I mean, Dane was a huge, huge part of that team and the success they had during that run. And you know, one of the big reasons why they won the national championship. So it's been really cool to see him now get this chance at the professional level. And in his first ever MLS game as a starting goalkeeper, Taylor, his team wins 4-0. So the offense is getting it done on that side of the ball. You just got to sit that back there, make a couple saves, and get that first clean sheet on the pro side to start.
Well, it was a heck of a night for the Terps because Chase Gasper scored his goal.
Maryland
left back. Got Dane ahead. But you look back at that 2018 team, and me and Dane talk about it a little bit in the interview, but the amount of talent in terms of now guys playing in the professional ranks, just go back to front here. Dane, starting goalkeeper for Minnesota United. You have Chase Gasper, starting left back for Minnesota United. Donovan Pines is a starting center back for DC United. Johannes Bergman is playing professionally in the USL. Ben DeRosa will be playing professionally whenever he stops playing at Maryland. Andrew Samuels is hurt right now, was playing professionally. Eli Cronally in the midfield, playing in USL. Omar Sadich playing in MLS. Sebastian Elney playing in USL. And then Paul Binn and William James Hervé are both still here and are both two of Maryland's best players and will play professionally at some point when they're done. So it's an incredible lineup of guys that made up that 11 and shows you why Maryland continues to pump out professional players. Me and Dane talked about a lot about that, about the brotherhood of all the alums. When Dane played on that Sunday night a couple weeks ago, he started opposite Zach McMath for Real Salt Lake. You're thinking Real. I hope we would love Zach McMath to play for Real Madrid. Those guys, you know, were dapping each other up at the end of the game, two Maryland goalkeepers. Chris Seitz started that night for DC United with Donovan Pines and Chris Odoyatson, two former Terps in the back line. And then Dane came in with the promise to replace Zach Steffen, who is just playing for Manchester City. So just for that position, a ridiculous amount of good players. Dane touched on, you know, sort of carrying that burden of being a Maryland keeper and Maryland professional. He talked about breaking through. And interesting how he was on loan when that MLS's back tournament started. He wasn't even there, had to come in quarantine, and after Minnesota United starter got hurt, is now the starter. So let's get into our interview with 2018 national champion and MLS starting goalkeeper, Dane St. Clair. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with Maryland national champion, Canadian youth national teamer, now starting goalkeeper for Minnesota United. Dane, I could go on forever and ever. It's Dane St. Clair. Here on the pod. Dane, thanks for taking a little bit of your time. First of all, describe the last 6 to 8 months for you. The season gets paused. You then get sent out on loan to San Antonio. You play really well. Now you're back after the injury to Tyler Miller, starting for Minnesota United. Has this just been a whirlwind the last 6 to 8 months for you?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. And yeah, it's been definitely a roller coaster with everything. I mean, started the season, I went on loan to San Antonio, and then kind of right when I got there, Corona hit and everything halted, and weren't sure if it was going to be a season was going to stop for a week. So it was going to be, no one thought it was going to be 3 months like it ended up being, but so it was kind of just every week going in kind of blind, like maybe this is the last week, maybe this is the last week, and just trying to stay fit because we knew that once the season did start, it would start fast with the amount of games that they had to make up. So then finally it did come back. We were playing two to three games a week, which is normally not ideal in soccer, but I managed to do, was doing really well down there. And unfortunately, Tyler Miller, our starting goalie at Minnesota, had to get a season-ending surgery on his hips, but that allowed the chance for me to get called back here, and then had to go through a quarantine process and things like that. So ended up missing our first game. We weren't doing too well with our first few games back, a little bit of a losing streak, and then the coach kind of gave me my chance, and the last two games I've started and come out with two victories. So it's been a crazy few months for sure.
When Adrian Heath told you you were going to get that chance to start on Sunday, what was going through your mind as you kind of went through the preparation? Obviously you've started big games in your career before, but what was it like sort of building up to that first MLS start?
I mean, I knew the reason why I went on loan was to get the experience so that I could compete when I came back, whenever I did get called back. So kind of just try to translate that experience, but of course there's a whole new feeling, but kind of just reminding myself to stay calm, and that, like you said, I've played in big games before, and that in the grand scheme of things, this was just another regular season game.
Were you happy to come out with the clean sheet in the first start? That's not a bad way to get it done. You get the clean sheet, you win 4-0. What was that feeling like when you came off the pitch?
For sure. I mean, going into halftime, it was still 0-0. So I think if you would have told us that we would score 4 goals in the second half, everyone would have took that with open arms. But I think that kind of getting a result like that in the clean sheet and such a big team performance off of a bit of a slide in form from us, so I think was big for not only me, but for the whole team, and that was able to help us, I think, in our second win to give us a little bit more belief in ourselves and things like that.
One of the coolest things for me post game was watching you and Chase sort of celebrate together. He scores his first goal. You get your first start and first clean sheet. You guys have kind of gone through this process together a little bit as rookies getting drafted to the same team. He obviously got on the field quicker than you, but now you're sort of sharing the field as you did at Maryland. What's it like going through the experience with a guy that you've been friends with for so long?
I mean, it's kind of surreal. I mean, it's kind of when we were at Maryland, things that we would talk about on our couch, you know what I mean? Not really thinking that it would actually come to fruition out of us, two of us being on the same team, and then kind of, I think seeing him, how well he does, I think kind of motivates me, and I think vice versa. And I think we have a connection from playing before, so we both feel comfortable with each other. So I think it's allowed us to both excel together.
What was it like for you to watch him get that success early on? Obviously, he'd gone through injuries and all different types of things during his college career, and then to get the recognition, get a U.S. cap. What was it like to watch him sort of jump into that role as a starting left back for Minnesota?
For sure. I mean, I think it's well-deserved. I think even when on the field, you see how hard he works and things like that. But of course, behind the scenes, I mean, Taylor, you've seen what he does as well. But I think to the blind eye, they don't always see. So I think I was just really ecstatic for him to get the recognition, to stay healthy. I mean, that was a little bit of an issue for him in the past. But I think now he's been done fully deserved and just continuing to excel at a exceptional rate.
What's the experience been like for you as a pro? Obviously you come off winning the national championship, playing so well down the stretch in that 2018 season. And then it's kind of different sometimes for a goalkeeper, right? Because there's only one spot to play. Mm-hmm. So you've got to find games or go out on loan or do those different things. What was the transition like when you got to Minnesota? Obviously now behind a guy like Tyler Miller, who's such a successful professional, learning from guys like that, and then now getting your chance to start. Sort of talk about that transition to the pro game.
Yeah, I mean, my position, like you said, is a really experienced position. I kind of thought back in my first couple years at Maryland where I kind of didn't play as much either and was able to kind of learn from the back and then apply myself when my name did get called in the last 2 years. So I think I kind of just tried to apply the same mindset. I mean, we had Vito Bononi last year, who's world-renowned goalie, played for big clubs around the world in the Premier League and things like that. So I think I was able to learn a lot from him and just kind of stay ready if my name ever did get called. And then same thing with this year. I wanted to compete for the spot. And then whenever my name did get called, to make sure I was ready, and I took it with open arms.
Obviously, you're focused right now on Minnesota and the rest of the MLS season, but I'm interested in your development in terms of internationally, because obviously in America, we are obsessed with the great young players in the U.S., but there's a little good stuff going on north of the border in Canada with some of the young players coming up, you included, guys like Alphonso Davies winning a Champions League. What's it been like for you as a young Canadian player who's grown up in that system to look around the world and watch your country sort of start to have this moment where players are getting recognized for their talents, and you feel like you have a chance to make things like the World Cup coming up and the Olympics and things like that?
Yeah, it was actually crazy because I was supposed to be going to Mexico for Olympic qualifying 2 days before or 2 days after that. Everything got canceled, so then the tournament got canceled last minute, so we're still not sure what's going on with that, but always to have a chance to represent your country, I think, is an amazing feeling. And I think for a lot of the younger kids out there to see guys like Alphonso now on your screen on national TV winning such a big world-renowned tournament, I think is such a big thing. I mean, I think about what Vince Carter did for basketball in the Toronto area, and all the players you're seeing come out in the draft now, like RJ Barrett, Jamal Murray. Like, I kind of think that Alphonso Davies can kind of have the same effect in a few years for these younger kids.
Jamal Murray is certainly having a little bit of effect the past few weeks. He was not bad. Talk about that sort of the young players in terms of Maryland guys. You know, you obviously have your moment, you and Chase. Eric scores the same night. It was mm-hmm. wild to watch all that going at the same time. Obviously, Don playing so well for DC United. The three of you guys all could potentially be in the Olympics next summer, which is pretty crazy. How much sort of challenge do you guys give each other, you know, texting back and forth, you know, giving each other props and keeping each other going as sort of the next generation of Maryland professional players?
Yeah, I mean, like we say a lot of that, it's a brotherhood. So, I mean, we always kind of try to stay in contact, of course, some more than others with our schedule and availability and things like that. But, I mean, always just kind of checking in, telling guys congrats on their big achievements, and always – you're always kind of checking the lineups to see who's playing, who's doing well, who's scoring. I mean, Eric's definitely one of my best friends, so I talk to him almost daily. So, I mean, I'm happy to see him too, because he was one of my roommates as well at Maryland. So to try to see all of us doing well, I think, like I said, it encourages the rest of us to do things as well.
Describe your journey to Maryland, Dane. What was the sort of the recruitment process like coming out of Canada? And then, as you said, you come in and you spend a couple years on the bench behind a guy like Cody Niedermeyer and then get your time. Just describe your kind of recruitment process to come to Maryland.
So being Canadian, it's not as big of an exposure as probably being in America, especially in some of the hotbeds like the DMV in terms of players. But my club team would come to tournaments a lot in the States, or we'd host our own showcases where teams would come. And I think we had a showcase at Disney. And that's where our old assistant coach, Brian Rowland, kind of saw me for the first time. Or not the first time, but that's kind of solidified things, because he saw me with the national team and things like that. And then I actually ended up getting recruited really late, because that was after Zach Steffen left. They started recruiting me because they weren't sure what was going to happen with him. So the recruitment process was really quick. I mean, I think I came on a visit the weekend before signing day. And then when I got home that weekend, I think signing day was the Monday or Tuesday, and I signed my letter of intent. So it was a quick process for me, and a later process for me compared to some of the more like local guys, I would say.
When you finally got your chance to start in 2017 and kind of take that role on, it was fun to watch you kind of gain your confidence as a vocal leader. And obviously that moved into 2018 when you win the national championship. What did you learn in those 2 years where you kind of waited your turn? And what did you use from that kind of learning experience to take into so much success that you had in your 2 years starting?
I mean, I think a lot of it was just managing players. I mean, of course, we had such a good team both years for sure. And I think kind of just the experience that I took, it wasn't just about playing good as an individual, it's about the collective. I mean, controlling the energy in away stadiums. I mean, to potentially make a big save and get Ludwig grokking, and that could maybe push us on for a goal later on in the game or things like that. I think just game management and the game experience, I think, is something you can't emulate other than actually playing.
You've touched on it a couple times, and obviously you're still speaking to guys that are roommates. The brotherhood of this program seems pretty special, and you and your senior group definitely had that, winning the national championship. But talk about sort of the strings that bind all the different guys that have played Maryland soccer together. You talk about guys like Zach Steffen. You're dapping up Zach McMath after your first pro start. That's a pretty cool thing. He's a Maryland guy. Mm-hmm. What is that kind of brotherhood like, and what does it mean to you?
I mean, I think it's when you're there, you look at all those other MLS guys, and that's kind of the shoes that you want to continue to fill and to go into. So I think it kind of gives you someone to look up to. So, I mean, to have my first start against another Maryland guy was kind of surreal. I mean, we're playing against Graham Suzy this weekend, so you got kind of see all the Maryland guys around the league, and even if you might not know them personally, like, you kind of have that bond knowing that you guys both went to Maryland. So that's an automatic like little connection there. And I mean, there's so many guys in the league that have gone to Maryland, so it's kind of a bigger family than you'd expect.
We're taking the Maryland goalkeeper union over anyone, right? I mean, you, Steffen, Seitz, McMath, we could go on and on. I don't know if any college is doing better than that. Let's be honest.
For sure. I mean, definitely when I came in, I knew the three of them ahead of me, so I was trying to fulfill those shoes, and I'm sure there will be guys coming up now that will fulfill the shoes that we've all left behind for sure.
We talked about it a lot, and you have, as you went through the season and then after, but you guys go on this incredible run of clean sheets down the stretch, and you win the championship with another one. An amazing back line that you played behind Donovan and Johannes and Ben and Chase, and then you have a guy like Andrew Samuels cleaning everything up in front of you. Forwards are pressing. What was it like for you to watch that chemistry come together after you guys started slow at the beginning of the year? And to watch it where it just never seemed like a team could score on you guys, no matter who it was, where you guys were playing. What was it like for you seeing the field through your eyes in the back, watching that all occur?
I mean, I think we always had the belief in ourselves, even though with the slow start, it wasn't like we were playing bad. I think especially defensively, we were playing really well and just weren't able to get the balls in the net at the time. But I think we always believed in ourselves and we knew that it would click. And I mean, we've had that same team has had undefeated regular seasons where we've lost in the second round of the tournament. So we kind of knew that it's kind of about peaking at the right time, although we didn't have the best regular season that we had wished for, to kind of come together. And I think we got better as each game went along, and that confidence grew, especially at the end. I felt like we all felt that no one was going to score on us at any point in time.
We've talked about it with a bunch of different guys that have come on. We had Donovan on and Marisa do, talking about sort of what that word excellence means to the program. And obviously you and I have heard Sash say that a million times over and over, but it's ingrained in all of you guys. And it shows from the professional success you end up having. What does his philosophy and that word kind of mean to you guys in the program?
I mean, it's about on and off the field and everything you do, and to try to always excel, to not just be great, but to be excellent, to do everything with the utmost care and respect and time and all those things that go into something, to doing something great. And I think that's could be the small thing as making one pass, or to having the belief in each other to win a game or win a national championship, or always excelling for the gold standard.
When we had Moadu on, he talked about how Maryland's environment was a perfect thing to propel him to the professional game. How do you feel like Maryland put you in a spot to now be a successful professional?
I mean, I think if you look at the players that were around us, I think from my junior year, 10 of our starting 11 are pros. So I think just surrounding yourself with guys that want to be at that next level, I think can really help you, because you see that guy pushing towards something, you know what I mean? Doing the little extra work, doing the extra things, and that kind of motivates you to kind of do the same thing. And then we all end up excelling together. And that's a big thing that we talked about in our senior year, is not about any individual here, but if we do well as a collective, that everyone will get to where they want to be.
You and Sasha Sarofsky, both pretty passionate guys, vocal guys. What is the best Sasha Sarofsky story you can tell on this podcast?
I wish you asked me that earlier so I could have a good think. he's definitely a passionate guy. I mean, I think just seeing after how much that national championship meant to him, that third national championship for him, how big it was, it meant to him as well as the whole team. But it was something that he told us that was my freshman class. He said that you guys need to come win a national championship with the amount of talent that I'm bringing in with you guys. So I think to kind of top it off our senior year and like finally do it was, I think, just the stars aligning and everything finally coming together.
One of the amazing things, Dane, that I've watched from you and your fellow Maryland alums, whether it be Zach, the guys on the team as well, Eric Williamson's done a great job, is how outspoken you guys have been about social injustice and all the issues that have gone on the past 3 or 4 months. How important do you feel like it is to continue that conversation, and specifically for you as a professional athlete, use your platform to keep those issues at the forefront and make sure they don't get lost?
I think it's massive. I mean, first and foremost, I like this, like we're all human. And I think whether your occupation is professional or janitor or anything, it doesn't matter. I think at the forefront of everything, you're a person. And I think especially as a black person, I think if someone doesn't know that you're an athlete, they might not treat you the same way, and those blinders are off kind of thing. So it's not like that we always receive special treatment or anything like that. So I think it's important for all of us to talk about. And I think, like you said, we have a big platform, so to be able to keep pushing that in society, because the importance is definitely unspoken about. And I think it can't be talked about enough, I should say. And I think the education aspect of it is going to be massive for those growing up, and even people that are older that can still learn, because I think no matter how old you are, you can always still learn.
Yeah, that's extremely well said. And it's been really cool to watch you guys, Sebastian, Ellie, all of you guys come out there and speak about it, and watch the current guys really support you guys in those efforts. It's been really cool. Dane, I'll get you out of here on a couple rapid fire questions. First, when you were growing up, who was the player you modeled your game after?
I'd say I liked Dita growing up.
Oh, Dita. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Your favorite save of your career?
The deflection against Indiana in overtime.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I didn't know it. Fun fact, I didn't know it took a deflection until they told me after the game. That's how late I saw it.
We could go through a lot. Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament was a good one. Kentucky was a good one. Yeah. Andrew Samuels tried to score on you. You wouldn't let him in. Andrew's trying to score on whatever goal he can get to. And you just didn't let him have. Double save against Wisconsin was good. The foot out against Akron, I believe, in the first half of the national championship was a good one. We could go on and on. The music, I know you're a big music guy, and you have thrown a bunch of stuff at me from a music perspective while you were at Maryland. The music, a lot of it did not get approved. But shout out to Kendall. A lot of it did not get approved. The music artist you're listening to right now?
I'd say Lil TJ.
Lil TJ, there you go. The show you streamed during quarantine?
What show was that? I was watching Ozark. I finally got on the Ozark wave, yeah.
We've gotten a lot of Ozark, of people jumping into that during their quarantine. And then finally, we would normally ask this if we were in College Park, but you and I sit on Zoom. I'm assuming you in Minnesota, me in Baltimore. Your favorite place to eat in College Park?
Marathon Deli, without a doubt.
There it is. And that's the exact right answer. What's your order at Marathon?
I just tell a guy to give me whatever he feels like on the day. That's how often I've been in there.
That's just an absolute feel guy. That's a College Park man right there. Just walks in and says, give me whatever's on the grill. That's sensational. Dane St. Clair, thank you so much for coming on with us. Continued success. Obviously, this will come out after you play Sporting Kansas City, but it'll be fun to watch you, Graham, and Chase all in there as, on the field as Maryland guys. And we hope you continue success, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota and Keith. Awesome stuff from Dane St. Clair. It was really good for me personally to catch up with him, worked with him throughout that run, and a really good guy and someone that just really developed throughout their time at Maryland. He talked about that. You know, he had to sit behind Cody Niedermeyer and then got his chance in the sun. And that's exactly what's happened in MLS. Goalkeeper is such a hard position to break into the team. As he said, it's such a veteran position. You know, you see a guy like, if you're a soccer fan, a guy like Tim Howard's playing at a high level until he's 39 or 40. Normally, you kind of get your chance in the normal athlete prime about 27 to 30. For Dane to be getting these big minutes now in MLS is huge. And it should be interesting to watch him continue to progress.
Taylor, I want you to put your analyst cap on right sure. now. Dane, an Ontario native, Canadian national, what do you think his chances are to get into that top goalkeeper position, that number one guy for the Canadian national team?
I think he's got a pretty good chance. And it was funny, there was some scuttlebutt. He played great against Graham Zuzzi in Sporting Kansas City this last Sunday night. We're recording on Monday. And there was some talk on Twitter about, you know, from Matt Doyle, who's an MLS analyst for MLSsoccer.com, saying that, you know, St. Clair is legit and that he is a guy that is going to be in this pipeline. As Dane talked about, he is in the U23 setup for a potential Olympic berth. They haven't had the qualifying for that. So he has that sort of in. If he's going to start, and he just has the look of a great goalkeeper, 6'4", 6'5", has huge length, great shot stopper, you know, Sasha Sarovsky and Jake Pace, who coached him for a lot of it, and Brian Rowland made him better at distributing throughout his time at Maryland. So I think he's got a very good chance. There's not an established guy for the Canadians right now. There's a great generation, as me and Dane talked about, coming through in a multitude of positions. And I think Dane will be right there if he stays healthy and has an MLS starting job. He's going to at least be in the setup and give himself a chance. An Olympic berth would be huge. And he's not the only Maryland guy that could be in that. Eric Williamson and Donovan Pines will be considered for the American U23 team. And Maryland once, you know, the last had guys in the Olympics in 2008, looking back at Mo Adu and Chris Seitz and Robbie Rogers. So there's some history there with having guys in the Olympics, Danny Califf all the way back in 2000. So it's going to be a very interesting time over the next year, building to Tokyo 2021. And it's interesting, if it had been this year, the Olympics, I think Dane would have had a chance. I think Eric and Donovan, on the outside looking in, this extra year has now given them a chance to prove themselves. So I will say Dane St. Clair will start at some point in his career. That is the prediction for the Canadian national team.
I like it.
I think
I love
he
it.
Is on that progression. And that will be another former Maryland soccer alum to play at the highest level. And it's not just Americans. Rodney Wallace has played in the World Cup for Costa Rica. Cristiano Francois has played for Haiti. So, you know, a multitude of different countries. It just keeps coming and coming. And if Dane St. Clair for Canada was facing off with Zach Steffen, who is entrenched as the U.S. number one, I mean, that's – Sasha Sarovsky can just – I mean, there's your recruiting pitch right there. You want to play for a national team?
He might be on the midfield line in that game, just watching from you know, up close and personal.
There's no doubt. Yeah, he's going to be standing next to Greg Berhalter shouting out orders, I think. But pretty cool, and shows you the power that Maryland soccer has. As we've said, Keith, in the open, unfortunately, we continue to have no sports on the field to talk about. However,
From the college standpoint,
yes. Terps and the Pros has been great.
Absolutely.
Obviously, an NFL Sunday done. Stephon Diggs debuting for the Buffalo Bills. DJ Moore was out there. Anthony McFarlane will play on Monday night. J.C. Jackson had a pick for the Pats. But in terms of Maryland-based sports, I think we have to talk about the exploits of you and I for the listeners, who both are very below average golfers, but
very below average,
but in separate rounds had two of our best shots ever. Would you like to tell the listeners, Keith, about one of your great shots of your golfing career?
Well, yeah, it's very funny. We jumped on this, the Zoom to record for the show. And I said, yeah, I think I hit the shot of my life this weekend. You're like, oh, I think I hit the shot of my life as well. And just for it to happen in the same weekend, very interesting. I was on
how much synergy we have, Keith. That's the synergy that we have.
I was on 18 in the sand trap, you know, sitting four on a par five, thinking, all right, just try and get it out of here, finish this round up. I took a swing, Taylor, got out of the sand, perfect line, right to the pin in the hole. And I just
– jubilation.
if that was the last round of golf I ever played, I could be happy with that.
Was that the last round of the weekend?
No, that was Saturday. I did play on Sunday as well. But
you want a golf trip with your buddies? We will tell the listeners.
Yes. My elbow is feeling it right now. I have a new appreciation for professional golfers and what they do, playing basically around every day, but playing four rounds in a tournament because I couldn't do that, Taylor, with what I got going on. But I want to hear about your shot.
Well, and I just will say, and we don't have to, you know, go through names here, Keith, but all the guys you played with, all Maryland rugby alums. So that's all true. Maryland yes. people. You kept yes. it in the family. As was I. I was playing with two Maryland alums, my buddies, playing at Greystone, which I'm sure some of our listeners have played, is in Baltimore County. Well, it's almost like in York, Pennsylvania. It's like 45 minutes away from the city. And we're playing number four, and I hit a third shot from about 75 yards and just hooked it left about 30 yards away from the pin, maybe 20, 25, I don't know, somewhere in that range. And I hit a pitch that was laced, absolutely laced, no touch at all, like three bounces, screaming, hammers the pin and just drops in and doesn't come out. And my friends could not believe it. They were absolutely stunned. So that was a good moment. And the cart lady was coming around and forced me to buy stuff for all of my friends. Because she said it was a lifetime shot. And she's probably not wrong considering how bad I am at golf. So you and me, Keith, continuing to try to perform on the golf course.
Don't worry about what happened at the other 17 holes, whatever else was going on. That's what keeps you coming back, that one shot.
Yes. And you and I have to now get back out together, which we have a couple times.
Yes, that'd be good. That'd be good.
So as the fall months come into bloom here, fantastic weather around Maryland over the last couple of weeks. And hopefully, Keith, you and I will not be the only one playing sports. Hopefully we will get back to some sports here soon. Obviously there is a lot of scuttlebutt out there. We have no news on it, and we will hope that it comes in the positive direction for student athletes and their safety, whichever decision that may be, that is of the paramount concern to us. But we hope everyone is enjoying watching the Pro Terps. You still got WNBA heading into the playoffs. You still got Brandon Lau and Lamont Wade out there in Major League Baseball, Adam Clark, all those different guys. You've got the NFL obviously back, which is fantastic. MLS, if you love MLS, there is not really enough time to watch all of the Terps, as I have found out as someone that is trying to follow all that. So make sure to follow all of those people. No professional lacrosse right now, Keith, for you to
they are wrapped up for the time being
for us to talk about, but that will be back in the spring, hopefully with also Maryland men's and women's lacrosse and all the other spring sports. But that's enough for us this week on Hear the Turtle. Thanks once again to Dane St. Clair. Make sure to go out and follow our man Dane in Maryland men's soccer and keep following his progress. Make sure to follow Keith at Sneds311. Maybe there'll be a video coming of that shot. We could only hope.
I wish, man. I wish there was a video of that, because I would have a frame by frame of it in my
you right my now living room. In your office, you have a frame by frame of the Gravis Vasquez Duke
yes.
crowd coming yeah. on just maybe right that. Next to that. As you told Gravis in an interview that will come at some point, that will be right next to it whenever we go back to the office. You can follow me at TaylorSmite10. You can follow us on all of our social media channels at Hear the Turtle, Twitter, Instagram, and we'll see you next week on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps.